Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
My brave, beautiful goddess.
Yes, Daddy?
I owe you an apology.
What did you do?
I lied to you and to my people. I betrayed the one thing I never thought possible. The man your mother expected me to be. You deserve better than this. You deserve better than me. You deserve everything in this universe. I cannot be the one to give it to you. I cannot abandon the ones I have led. My life is not my own, you see. It is theirs.
I don't understand.
I know. But someday you will. Goodbye, my love.
Daddy! Daddy, no! Don't go! Please, Daddy!
And we're off.
What?
And off? We're off.
Off the air?
No. Like, we're off. You know, like that.
Oh.
We're off. Horses. Yeah. Like the horses at the races there.
Cast off.
They're off.
I'm in.
I don't know.
We're underway.
I'm guessing that was an ad hoc one. That's not one of your planned, scheduled sound clips after I say certain things, right? That was an ad hoc.
That was ad hoc. You said, I'm off. And Doctor, I figured.
I said, we're off.
We're off. I figured that was appropriate time to say.
I'm in.
We're off our rockers.
Do it.
So, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Yo.
Hi.
Hello, Tuvok.
How y'all doing out there?
Hi.
I thought I'd,
Hi.
Ease into the episode. It's going to be a jam-packed one, I suspect,
it's a jam one.
It's a season series finale.
Yeah. We're gonna somehow have to get through all this stuff.
Exactly. So I don't want to eat up too much time, but yeah, I also didn't want to just barrel in.
We got to get through that stuff.
Together, we will find a way.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
There is no beginning. There is no end.
I think that guy really understands us.
Didn't they play that line before? Was that in the first episode? Was that in Paradise?
Sounds like the first episode?
I think so. There's actually several. I actually have a list of callbacks in this episode.
Ah.
That's not one of them. Actually, that's a good point, because I do remember it too, but I did not include it in my list of callbacks.
I'm interested.
So you've mentioned that there is a list.
Yeah.
Yes.
At least one list.
That is interesting information for the future of this podcast.
Take note. Keep it in your mind, in your Jesse mind, in your Patrick mind.
My
Dan trap.
I'll try to find room.
Your Dan trap. All right. I'm curious to see what criteria you use for callbacks, because I have a few notes in here that could be callbacks, could be references to other things, Easter eggs. I don't know. A lot to discuss.
It hardly matters now.
Well, it's true of just about everything.
Yeah.
We're very nihilistic.
Yeah.
Nihilistic podcast. Nothing matters, so why not do do a Star Trek podcast for many, 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 many years.
Ooh.
So the truth is alarmingly simple.
I have a whole section, by the way, of because I've talked about my color scheme
for your sound clips.
Clips. I made a whole color section for this episode for the end part where they were talking and there were musical that piano was playing in the background that whole time. Just a whole color dedicated to quotes from that section where
what
there was
color is it?
It's some light blue color. Like there was like here's one.
I think the loss of the entire panda. No, I don't think. I know because I felt it too.
Awkward line reading.
Was more than they could bear. Now, I can't go back.
What the audience at home can't see.
Tuvok to Excelsior.
See that, two that to beam music. Up.
When Dan is yeah. Dan was describing how he was describing playing the piano, but for some reason he was pointing, taking his index fingers and pointing
yeah,
them
was doing something weird.
Away from himself.
He was
and
playing a dream piano.
But he's jabbing to the side, sort yeah. of like a perpendicular future piano.
Perpendicular piano.
Peculiar.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I was doing there.
Okay, so yeah, this is.
I don't understand.
This is the It's Got Star Trek.
I don't get it.
It's Got Star Trek podcast. We've been doing this for a very long time. So long, in fact.
Sadly.
That it's a weekly podcast. We have not failed even in 1 week, ever since we've started.
We've
provided content for y'all.
Content.
And this is episode 322.
Believe it.
Of the It's Got Star Trek.
Is there really an alternative?
No, there's no alternative.
Oh, that's the count.
I'm not even going to bring up the fact that I'm not. Okay, I've now implicitly brought up the fact that I'm confused as to how that line relates to the.
Because
number.
Because yeah. you said that we have not missed a week.
Okay.
And that so.
This is episode 322.
And then you said there's 322. And yeah. I was like, there's no alternative. We haven't missed a week. And that's this
right.
number is the
there's
episode.
No getting around
there's no getting around
it's
that.
It's unequivocal.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Jesse.
Well, with the additional right with the additional explanation.
I'm making Dan I'm happy.
We'll see. Comfortable with that choice.
Well, okay. Here's the funny thing is Jesse didn't need an explanation. So you're the one who needed the explanation. I was not the one who needed to give an explanation. You were the one who needed to receive an explanation.
Oh. Agreed. I needed to receive it. And I don't want to stir the pot, but I might suggest that I think I got the impression that Jesse's trying to be particularly Dan-pleasy today. which I'm nervous that might actually backfire.
Who has poisoned your mind with these lies?
That might backfire, make you aggravated. Jesse seems like all he's like, yeah, I'm going to be super into making sure Dan is cool with me this week.
I did not come here to argue.
I don't want any trouble.
All right. Yeah. So we're doing the Star Trek podcast, and
sure we
this week we are delighted to conclude our.
I agree.
To conclude our weekly discussion of the Star Trek
Con podcast.
Yes.
All right.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was curious if there would be something sort of inserted there.
I'll insert you.
So we are looking forward to discussing
Insert-a-con.
This final episode, and hopefully we have some time to also discuss sort of the series as a whole and just the concept of doing these audio podcasts, these sort of official podcast. It's ostensibly part of the canon, or is it? Is it not? I don't know.
Maybe.
We'll talk about that a little bit.
I believe it.
But first, the regular old front mattered. We do, as always, have a few things to take care of.
Hell yeah.
Dan, you've described.
Wait, we haven't named the episode yet.
Oh shit, you're right. I kind of alluded to it.
Yeah, you said episode 300. You said episode 300 and whatever, and
322
I played
of our podcast.
And I played. Is there an alternative? And you got confused.
Okay, you're right. I got a little off track. So
that's right.
Prior to the front
Damn
matter,
it, dude.
I will do the pre-front matter, which is I'll conclude the pre-front matter by. Noting that we will be discussing the episode. It's episode 9 of the Star Trek Con podcast.
Nine.
Oh, this human is full of words.
9.
I just want to be clear. I want to provide the context, Dan. It's episode 9. It's the season/series finale of this little mini series thing, and it is called. It is titled Eternity's Face.
There is only the eternal. Ever striving to evolve into its most perfect form.
See when you did the welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast, I played the first part of that quote, and then when you did the episode, you did the second part. And that and I'm
yeah.
so clever.
Yeah, you are clever. That's
I'm
a clever.
Very
thing
clever.
You. Very clever.
I'm super clever.
Clever clips.
Clever girl. Okay.
Yes.
Jurassic Park. All right. So front matter, just a couple things. We do have a voicemail, and I did want to mention to everyone out there. If you're regular listeners, you know about Trek 365, hosted by our friend Isaac
yes.
from Down Under, from Tasmania, mm-hmm. a jam eater supreme, as they
jam
say.
Eater.
Yes.
So last year in 2025, supreme. Trek 365 did an episode of a podcast every single day, 365 podcasts, about the most memorable Star Trek episodes. Each episode was itself 365 seconds long.
Right.
And it was published on the 365th minute of every day, which is Wow. Australian time? Anyway.
Is there really an alternative?
Great. Great podcast. Go back and listen to that. Short form, excellent. It's all up there now, all 365 episodes.
I agree.
Now, that experiment is over, but Isaac is continuing with a number of other awesome things, so go check them out.
I'm sure.
I don't want to give spoilers, but Dan and I are involved in some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. Just go check out the Trek 365 feed for some fun stuff.
Fun stuff.
You're not going to want to miss it.
As a Starfleet officer, I can do no less.
All right. Now we have a voicemail from Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve. And Steve is talking about something that we brought up a couple times on this. While we were discussing the Star Trek Con podcast.
Evidence!
Of course, it's about the issue of targeted advertising.
Mm.
Targeted advertising.
I don't get it.
With the pants?
In podcasting.
I don't get it.
Take it away, Steve.
Hey, belated Happy New Year, gentlemen. This is Steve from Olomouc. I've been enjoying your conversations about the Con podcast, and I wanted to talk a little bit to an issue you've brought up, which is the advertisements that you hear. And since I know that when I go to Ireland or France, I get entirely different advertisements, localized advertisements on various podcasts. So I thought I'd do a little experiment because I was flying to the US for Christmas. And so I downloaded all of the Con podcasts in both Podcast Addict and Spotify. And
thorough.
Listen to hear what advertisements would come, would go along with the show. When I downloaded them in the Czech Republic, actually listened to them on the plane on the way over. And I had absolutely no advertisements on either of those applications, either Podcast Addict or Spotify. And then I erased them and I downloaded them again in the US on both of those. And Spotify actually gave me no advertisements whatsoever, even when I re-downloaded it in the US and Dayton, Ohio specifically. But Podcast Addict, actually, when I downloaded in the US, gave me your favorite advertisements. Do you hate buying pants?
Wow.
The Indeed sponsored jobs, the Farmer's Dog. Carvana, Mint Mobile, Hilton's Day, Shopify, and Paramount Plus. It's just an interesting experiment. And, I mean, we should probably think a little bit about what advertisers show up on Star Trek and how it is. Been important and a bit changing.
Right on.
And I mean, with the original having mostly, I think it was Viceroy cigarettes or something. But yeah, great job. Looking forward to your last conversation and goodbye.
Your last
conversation. Okay.
Thanks, Agamus.
Thanks, Steve. Oh, yeah, I meant
that
to
was awesome.
Hate shopping for pants.
So Steve did ominously suggest that this is our last conversation. This hope he means our last conversation about Star Trek Con.
Yeah.
And not our last conversation generally.
It's interesting that those pants people really get their name out. I feel a little bit attacked. As in, I listen. So what are they saying? I listen to Star Trek, therefore, you know, like I'm not up
into
on my
buying pants.
Into wearing pants and being stylish. I just like to lay around in my underwear all day.
I hadn't even considered that. I just, as we've mentioned this before.
I do like to do that. But.
So Dan, Jesse, and
we're
all listening to the podcast in sort of different formats, depending. There's YouTube, there's podcast apps, there's Spotify, et cetera.
I was on Apple Podcast.
And Steve makes a good point. I was traveling over the holidays internationally, and it is always interesting to see now that podcasts all have these like automatically inserted ads, like which ads you get. And I was when I was in Europe, apparently my phone was telling everybody that I was in Texas because I started getting all these Texas specific ads. It was
you
very
sick son of a bitch.
It was confusing because it was just like ads about how awesome, you know, how great it is to live in Texas and everyone should stay in Texas. I was like, oh, we're wearing some,
that sounds
some weird ads there. But I also like the point that Steve made that because we've also commented on how these ads can be a little jarring where you're listening to the podcast, you're really focused on the voice acting, which generally speaking, they're doing a great job of being immersive with the sound design and the story is engaging and they'll go to ad break with some sort of really clever cliffhanger or something. And then it's like you want to buy Mint Mobile. And it's jarring a bit.
Vengeance was all that was left.
But Steve points out that back in the TOS days, they were just doing commercials for cigarettes God knows what else. So,
yeah,
I guess,
but I guess it's different if it's visual versus if it's just, you know, you're just hearing it.
I kind of
son of a bitch.
I was thinking about it. I was like, maybe they just have like a little bit more of a pause when they go in and out of the breaks to the commercials, because I think for me, it's just the shortness. It's like the end of a line, a musical cue, and then bam, right into some high energy advertisement.
Yeah, I know. Well, with when you watch TV, they usually have some kind of fade out that goes on that if I'm guessing it, you know, takes some extra time, but even if it doesn't, it really does mark the end of something when visually something fades out and then something fades in.
Yeah.
There is the extra time, but also there's just sort of the separation between the two states of vision.
Yeah, you get a lot more information.
Yeah. So, you know.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. And I actually would kind of be interested in what ads people are hearing in their localities.
Follow them up.
Yeah, it's probably not that interesting. Maybe not podcast worthy. But if you want to email it, feedback@itscottstartrek.com. That's, you know, just fine. Let us know. Because some countries you don't even allow ads or they don't have targeted ads because they're, I guess maybe they just figure there's not a market in that country. So it's fun to sort of reverse engineer how all these algorithms are infecting our weird little brains.
We're not supposed to play these games.
I know, right? All right.
I wanted to real quick do a Jesse Revisited, if I may.
Jesse Revisited.
Just a quick Jesse Revisited from last week.
Just to explain, right, Dan? Dan, this is a concept Dan invented recently in which Dan has listened to the podcast and has observed something that Jesse's done I believe I'm correct in saying, Dan, that generally was not observed at the time.
Correct. Yes.
Right, so either you and or I did not cotton on to the fact that Jesse had stated something or made some sort of claim or something.
Yeah.
But on hearing it back. Mm-hmm. And so now you want to revisit it and perhaps highlight it and or respond to it.
Yes, okay. Precisely. So last week, I was talking, remember when I accused Patrick of listening ahead?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick rightly got offended.
Yeah. Right. You've done that a few times.
I was talking about that with my wife the other day. I was like, you wouldn't believe it, Dan. Dan's to know me forever.
Yeah.
And he's like,
it's a pity.
You're listening ahead and lying about it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't notice at the time that Jesse said, I was thinking about doing that, but I didn't have the time.
Oh, yeah. that's right.
And I just wanted to, I didn't want to you know, give you a hard time or anything about it, Jesse, because it's fine. You know, you're your own person. You can do what you want. But I was just curious, were you really going to listen ahead? Were you going to break the rule?
I don't think so.
Or were you just messing?
I was just kind of saying stuff.
You were just messing.
I say a lot of stuff.
No, I do too. We all say a lot of stuff. Oh. It's true.
And sometimes that stuff is controversial.
Yeah.
Apparently.
It would have driven the best of us to madness.
Okay, that was a quick Jesse Revisited. I just wanted to, it wasn't an indictment or anything like that.
No,
I just
no.
wanted to clarify something. Okay.
All right. So, finale episode, Eternity's face.
Yes, Eternity's face. Oh, wait.
Episode 9. Eternity's face.
he had a little trouble with that one.
Yeah.
He had a little trouble wrapping his tongue around that one.
Eternity's face.
Yeah, play it again. Listen to how he says eternity. He's sort of, he's been good. He's been cheesy but good in all of these, but I think there's something about the meter, the rhythm, the consonants. The consonants of the consonants, if you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a listen.
Episode 9, Eternity's Face.
Eternity's Face.
Yeah. A little hitch in his giddy-up.
It is a little hitch.
A little hitch in his giddy-up.
Eternity's Face.
Napsy.
Yeah, he can do it.
No problem.
Eternity's Face.
Move.
Smooth riding right there.
Yeah, smooth what?
Smooth ride.
He's a smooth riding.
I don't know why I said that. I said smooth riding.
smooth riding.
I don't know if I invented that or if that's just some cool thing I happen to know.
Sounds cool.
It's either a cool thing I've come up with or it's a cool thing I'm in the know about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Superior intellect.
Okay.
The last of the beasts.
The last time we get to hear Crazy Ivan.
The last of the beasts.
What you didn't tell us earlier, you mentioned this one list, and then I presume you have your sort of list of parts that we can use as our scaffolding to discuss this episode.
Yeah. I do.
Any other lists? Any other duty or no duties? Or orders? That's an order. We already did a Jesse Revisited. I forgot to mention we're going to do a second break. Dan's going to lead a second break and form them up.
Holograms?
So that's something to look forward to. So we know we've got the inform them up. We've got the list. What else do we got going on?
Well, the only thing that I wanted to let everyone know is that I have my best of sounds that if you know or don't know, I have my sounds that I play every week, and some best ofs are more best of than others.
Yes.
But I noted that the character that I have, what character do you think I have the most of in my best of sounds?
The character broadly speaking, or from this podcast, from the podcast,
from the best of sounds that I play from week to week. Right, you know, so, like the.
Chief O'Brien,
if I had to guess, what do you think, Jesse? I think you and I might have the same guess. My guess, you want me to do the guess, Jesse?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do the guess. My guess is that it would be Trip Tucker.
Where would I stay?
Yep.
Because you got where would I stay?
Yeah.
You've got what?
I don't get it.
You got various I don't get it. Sorry.
I don't get it. I don't get it. You don't get it. I don't get it.
I also have
you're a greedy son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And last but not least, there's
eight.
I have eight Trip Tucker the Third sounds.
What's the do you happen to know the second place character? Second place number character?
Interestingly, the second place character might be
Jake?
No, what's that dude?
Holograms?
What's that guy's name? That guy's name is Coleus.
Shadow Play.
Yeah, interestingly, just because I have four holograms.
Okay.
I have
sabotage.
That's like one Kirk. I have
sabotage.
One Picard. I've got. Oh wait. I have Sisko's.
Okay. Evidence. Let's do it. Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah. There's a few Siskos. Couple.
It's just crazy.
Yeah,
three
this
Siskos.
Is irrelevant.
Four Siskos.
Is this like a rating scale?
Yeah,
I give it four Siskos.
Yeah. You know, one hairy.
Bag of
the list gets weirder as it goes on.
You know. So yeah. Honestly, I think it's Trip Tucker the Third.
It's got Star Trek.
Trip Tucker the Third, and tied for second is Sisko / Coleus.
Word, dude.
Eight for Trip Tucker the Third, four for Sisko and Coleus.
Okay.
Interestingly. Yeah. So I was not planning on that, but I just noticed that as we were starting.
I enjoyed that information.
Thanks.
I really like that, too.
Oh, thanks, you guys.
All right.
So you know.
I do want to thank you for what you did.
Referencing your list. How did this episode start? Because you've made me forget.
Oh.
Does it start with the Tuvok? Was it start with the Tuvok business? Or what does it start with?
It starts with a creaky door opening, actually.
Okay.
It starts with the creaky door opening because...
creaky door.
You're going to imitate the creaky door opening? Clop, 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 clop. Okay. Creaky door opening.
So your cat noise always disturbs me. It upsets me. I think you do babies sometimes too. That upset
oh yeah,
me
babies. People don't like the babies.
Yeah, people don't like the babies.
Yeah, it makes fathers cringe and I don't know.
And mothers
sad.
Go unhinged.
Okay, that's old Irish phrase. The fathers cringe and the mothers unhinged. Sure, and you don't know the fathers unhinged.
Yeah, so it begins with the door opening, and Ursula's like, "Whoa, Ivan! Hey, what the fuck,
oh,
man?"
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So this was very confusing.
Because that was
to
like
me.
At the last episode.
It was not my first time listening to this episode. It was not clear to me that Ivan had killed Paolo off screen.
It was
until
unclear.
Like halfway through
yes.
the episode.
Right, same with me.
I was like, I did not understand what had happened. I got the impression that he had killed Hassan.
Yes.
But I didn't understand that he was what he killed Paolo and was bringing in his body and I guess flopping his body down, and that's why Ursula was all like, boo!
Here's the line.
Paolo, what happened? Hassan?
So like, first I thought that like, I thought that Hassan got killed.
Yes.
But I think what happened is that
Paolo is looking for Hassan.
She was asking Hassan if Paolo got killed.
But Hassan was missing last week. Remember, like last episode, was missing confusingly.
I know, and I think he was with Ivan.
Yeah, but was he with Ivan, or did Ivan kill Hassan?
See,
I'm still confused.
I want to make this. I want to say up front that I don't know the answer because I'm looking for. Right. I'm not going to argue my point because I don't have one.
He does not have a point.
we don't need a Jesse revisit for that one.
Where would I stay?
We all got that one.
So at first when I heard it, I thought that like Hassan got killed or something. And then when I found out Paolo got killed, I was thinking like, oh, was when she said Hassan, was she talking to Hassan? Was she like, Hassan, what happened? And then like,
we fought. He lost.
Yeah. That was my, that's where I was like, okay, I guess he killed about Paolo. But I didn't understand that in the time. At first I thought he was talking about Hassan.
No, but do you think this line?
We fought. He lost.
I think that's Hassan. Is what I'm saying.
You think that's Hassan saying the lines?
Oh. Yeah, I think that's Hassan who's saying, because she's like, she goes,
Paolo, what happened? Hassan?
We fought. He lost.
I think she's asking Hassan, and then Hassan is saying,
to me, yeah,
but
even now, I thought that was Ivan.
I did too, but now I'm just trying, but I'm the only reason I'm saying it's Hassan now is because I'm trying to reconcile that with what happened prior, which is, I have no fucking idea.
Maybe there's too many characters in this show.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something going on.
This was an unusual misstep in a show that predominantly has been pretty good at conveying what's going on. We have cited a few times where there was a little bit of confusion or lack of clarity, but this was a more extreme version. And part of what threw me off a little bit was I didn't even know I was confused until later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys agree with me.
No, because I thought I understood.
Exactly. I was listening to the episode. I was like, "Oh man, Ivan's back!" And then somehow, where I first got weirded out was when I guess it was Ursula was saying, "Well, Paolo," or maybe it was Erica saying, "Like Paolo, I hope wherever you are, there are stars." And I was like, "Wait, is Paolo dead?"
Oh. Yeah, right.
And Ivan's eating the eels.
Well, yeah, I know, right? That was pretty. I mean, that was pretty awesome how they conveyed that. It's like he's eating some bugles. What, like this? Bugles. A really crunchy, super crunchy eel.
And he was saying something to the eel mama. He was like, oh, mama, just one. I'm only gonna eat one of your babies.
Like it's a bird or something.
Right. Yeah. Mm. Hmm. Yeah. That guy.
That guy.
No. What has she said?
I hope that wherever you are now, Paolo, there are stars.
Paolo was all into looking at the stars.
Yeah.
That I get. And I was like, wait, is Paolo dead? What's going on?
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't know. So the door, creaky Ivan, plops Paolo's
creaky
body down.
Ivan
starts fomenting a rebellion here.
Right.
Because he's a complete crazy dickhead. And he's using verbiage.
Who is Ivan?
Ivan. He's saying things that are similar to what Khan says later in Star Trek 2.
Yeah.
This is a point I'm going to return to a few times today where...
He also says Khan.
Yes. So we mentioned before that this podcast has done a lot of mirroring of other things in the Khan storyline. And I think in most of those cases, kind of clever, kind of interesting. You could call it a callback, call forward, whatever. Mm-hmm. However, a few times they've also done the reference where it's not related to the Khan story. It's just sort of mimicking a line from like Star Trek 5 or whatever. That's less successful for me because the only people who are going to recognize it are Star Trek nerds. And then Star Trek nerds are going to be like, well, that doesn't mean anything in the context of this episode.
Right.
At least when they're doing the Khan, it's like, okay, that's similar. Here, Ivan is just really acting like Star Trek 2 Khan, except it's Ivan doing it. So it's like proto what Khan is going to become.
Yeah, I mean, and some of that sort of references some of my callback list. Although what you're saying is not specifically a callback. Yours is a parallel.
Well, what we're gonna do?
Pop 'em ups.
We got to take a break, so we're gonna figure all that out. And when we come back from the break, we will continue this. We will continue that list. We'll continue. We'll introduce some of your other lists, but we're gonna start out with a classic Dan and form 'em up.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Public service announcement.
Be right back.
Daddy? Daddy, no! Don't go!
No.
No.
And we're back.
My old friend, I'm so pleased you're not dead.
My old and very old. How about very old friends?
It has been too long, little flower.
I thought you were dead.
Here we go. Bilbo. Bilbo.
I'm not doing it so well.
Bilbo Baggins. Okay. To Bilbo Baggins.
Wait, your Bilbo Baggins has a tendency to steer into Alf.
Wait, do you remember that SNL Saturday Night Live skit?
Tony Ring.
It goes to Bill Brasky.
Yes. Yeah.
That son of a bitch could jump over a building and kick an ox in the face or some shit like that. I don't know.
Bill Brasky.
It was a really dumb sketch, but like, I don't know. It was always, I don't know. Bilbo Baggins. Bilbo. Hey.
No, that's Harry Carey.
Bilbo.
Bilbo. All right. Welcome back to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Hope you enjoyed that break. We certainly did. Before we continue our discussion, we do have a brief second break in form 'em up.
Do it.
Dan came to me offline, and he said that he wanted to do an abbreviated Dan Can't Stand. Now, for those who don't recall, because I don't recall exactly when this came up, but not too long ago, Dan introduced a new feature called Dan Can't Stand.
I like my pain.
Which sounded very similar to Peter Griffin's Grind My Gears.
It sounds nothing like that.
There's so much that Dan can't stand. Yeah.
Grind My Gears is alliteration.
It's unfathomable.
Mine is a rhyming scheme.
Well, the concept is similar.
No, it's not similar at all. This guy's always got to criticize people.
Not
criticizing.
I don't think he's.
I think he's being critical.
I'm putting it out there because somebody else is going to make the comparison.
Well, look, it is an implied criticism because you're like, because it sounds strikingly like something that's already happened already. It sounds like he stole it from somewhere.
I do like your impression of me. That's the guy I'd listen to. Like listening to that, I'm like, I would listen to that guy.
Like he means.
You and I are savages.
So we're going to do an abbreviated Dan Can't Stand. Actually, this is a Dan Can't Stand revisited. So it's not a normal Dan Can't Stand. We've only had the one Dan Can't Stand, as I recall. This is a Dan Can't Stand revisited.
Be not afraid, my child.
It's probably not going to be as abbreviated as advertised, but here we go, Dan. You wanted to revisit your previous Dan Can't Stand. So you have to tell us what your previous Dan Can't Stand was all
yes,
about.
Yes, and it's really just a start of a movement is what it is. All because right. It's going to be...
This isn't a poop joke.
No.
Okay.
But you just made it one.
Standing isn't a movement.
I taught you better than that.
So this is the start of a movement because I'm occasionally going to remind people in a very clever, quick little phrase.
I'm sure.
This issue that I'm trying to tackle.
You brought
here.
Up with the previous Dan yeah. Can't Stand.
And that is when you pay with, and it's not even that relevant anymore because not many people pay with cash anymore. But when you pay.
I pay with my watch.
Oh.
You just give people watches when you go to the store?
I put my watch on the thing.
Have a watch,
you give them to watch.
Some people are like, what are you doing? That's where you're supposed to put
watch.
Your,
I take the watch.
Your phone or your credit card. And it's like, no, I put my watch.
I will not reveal your secret.
Man, we live in the future. We live in the future. Okay, but in those...
Be brave.
In those instances, when you're dealing with cash... You've got a particular bugaboo.
Yeah. So when they hand you, when you get
it's one that I share.
When you get paper cash and coin cash, what they do is they take the dollars and they make it and they bend it a little so it makes it the dollar stiff. And then they put the coins on the dollar bills to make like a tray out of the dollar bills. And they hand you this in one package where you put your hand out and they put the paper dollar on your hand with the coins on top, slightly bent so the coins are balanced on there. This happened to me today where they did it and the coins fell everywhere.
That's nonsense.
Because it's a half tube. Because you're making a half tube. And when any sort of movement.
An eighth of a tube, it
produces a centrifugal force on those coins.
And there's
they're going to just slide out.
Coins are way heavier than bills.
They're way heavier, and there's very little friction between a coin and a dollar bill. They're light.
Listen, I am a veteran cashier, and let me tell you, I never do that shit.
Yeah, and thank you, Jesse.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, you
give them
the
paper, and then you give them the coins.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And most people don't pay in cash.
My preference is coins.
You usually have to worry about
my preference is coins and then paper, because the coins sit in the juicy, friction-filled bowl of my hand, and then I can grasp the bills on top, which actually then hold the coins in. It keeps them from getting loose, and then I can crumple that all up and shove it in my pocket.
Shove it in your butt. Jesse, what'd you say you do? You don't get the coins first, you do the dollars.
He does two separate actions.
It's two movements.
Yeah.
You give them the paper.
That's also not a
and then
joke.
You give them the coins.
Right, there you go. So for all those people out there that are using the dollars as a tray to put the coin on to make it one thing,
I would never do that.
I want to say to you,
I get it. Just stop.
Okay. Now you've promised us, as you put it, I believe a clever phrase.
It's clever,
some
very
sort of
clever.
A clever phrase.
It's very clever.
And pithy. Is it a pithy phrase?
It's pithy as shit.
Clever and pithy, so that people can remember this phrase.
Right.
When they're going about their business.
And I'm gonna repeat it every once in a while maybe on a sign off or something like that.
Okay.
But I want everyone to remember that's a dollar, not a dish.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's pithy for sure.
Yeah. It's not entirely accurate. You got to bend your mind a little to understand what I'm saying, because it's more like a tray than a dish, but you get what I'm saying.
Well,
bend your mind.
We would like folks out there in the world.
That's dollar, not a dish.
This is an international podcast.
That's a dollar, not a dish.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Not a dish.
Write into feedback@itsgotstartrek.com or contact us on social media @itsgotstartrek and let us know, is this a problem in your neck of the woods? Yeah. Are you in Italy? You're in Canada? Australia?
You're in
Sweden?
Canada?
Singapore? You could
Malaysia.
Be in Colombia, perhaps, or Ecuador?
Ecuador?
Yeah, Iceland. There's all these places you could be. And what we want to know is, do you have this problem? And if so, what is your solution? Is your solution the Jesse double move? Is my coins first and then bills on top?
As long as there's not a dish involved being made out of a dollar bill, I'm fine with either.
So
a dish.
Let us know what you think. And has been Dan Can't Stand Revisited, the coin business.
Yes.
All right.
Coin business.
Very good. Very good.
Okay.
Yes.
Now.
So.
Thank
right.
you.
Now.
Yeah.
We can continue our discussion of Eternity's Face.
Eternity's Face.
In your face.
Eternity's Face.
Eternity's Face.
So, Ivan's back, and that was sort of the little opening teaser cliffhanger.
Right. So, he survived everything, and he was like, it just made me stronger. Mm-hmm. He ate the eel, which he all chewed up, which we already played this sound. He's like, oh, mama, that's okay. I only want to eat one of your children. And then she points out that he's eating eel toxin.
Yeah.
And he compares it to vodka.
Right. That's weird.
It's not vodka, but it's good.
What do you think a SETI eel high is like? I bet it's kind of like tripping or something.
I don't know. Maybe it's not.
It might
not even be like an intoxicant. It might just make you feel a little slightly weird.
He compared it to vodka. So it made me think there was some kind of, maybe it was just being, maybe it's just making a joke.
Well, vodka kind of sucks.
It's kind of like they're introducing an extra thing here, because the issue with the little eel things was not that they were poisonous, it was that they connected to your brain and did weird weird brain affecting stuff. I mean, I guess maybe that's the chemicals they were producing is what they're saying, so I don't know. All right, whatever. Yeah. All right.
Unclear.
Okay.
Sounds like you got it all figured out.
She wants to know why he came back, and he basically says, you know, I want what is ours, which is the ship and our freedom, basically. And he wants
is ours, the ship built by these other people.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's decided it's all his.
Elbows. The freedom we were attempting to take away from the people of planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. And he wants to recruit Ursula, and she says, I like my pain, and I accept that Khan is just going to Khan, you know?
This is an example of one of those mirror lines that's, to me, is more like an Easter egg, because I like my pain.
Oh, that
I
think Kirk is a clear, said something.
It's a Kirk, Star Trek V, Kirk.
I need my pain. Yeah.
Except here is much less impactful.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any direct relationship to it.
It didn't really.
I'm not as big a fan of this in terms of
it didn't really fit in.
Easter egg-y type stuff.
And then... But she says, I've always accepted Khan is just going to do what he does. And so whatever. And he,
Khan's going to con.
And Ivan says, he promised us a bunch of shit. And she's like, well, we're not going to be able to get past all these augments and steal the ship. So you're crazy anyways, you know, sorry, I shouldn't say crazy. You're
crazy. Ivan,
whatever.
You're fucking nuts.
You're out of control.
You're totally loony.
She tells him that Khan and Kali are on the ship. And that's when Ivan realizes that Khan was going to leave him behind. And it seems like Ursula already kind of knew that too this whole time. But apparently most people haven't figured that part out yet. Ivan figured that shit right as soon as she said that, he knew right away.
When she explained quote unquote the plan, he was like, "Oh, I get it."
Yeah, right.
Which is, again, they've set Ivan up as Khan essentially turns into Ivan.
Yeah.
In Star Trek 2, right? Yeah. That's what this story gets us to.
It gets bitter.
Yeah, I mean,
out of control bitter.
Because a quick point on this series is that it was advertised as us witnessing the descent of Khan from where the character was in TOS to where he was in Star Trek 2, because there was always a bit of a disconnect from how they left Khan in Star Trek TOS,
which
was on pretty weirdly good terms. And then in Star Trek 2, where Khan is like, fuck Captain Kirk.
He's
pissed.
We'll discuss whether or not they were successful in the end, but I actually think this is much more interesting than watching the descent of Khan, because that's not what we've experienced during this podcast. We've actually experienced Khan going through a great deal of growth, which is then curtailed by tragedy,
right? Yeah,
or perceived tragedy, and that's a more interesting.
It is interesting, but it does kind of. I mean, they still kind of jump from Khan being. Khan even being better than he was from the start,
learning lessons.
Then snap of the fingers, he's even worse. Yeah. But and so maybe I guess that's just to show how devastating that situation really was for him. I don't know.
Yeah,
but and that he didn't actually learn all that much, which is a comment we've made before. That when Marla was around, he was doing stuff better. But as soon as her influence left, then he started doing stupid stuff again. And then Kali is a good influence on him. Mm-hmm. But as soon as he thinks she's out of the picture, he's like, nah, okay, I'm gonna be even worse than I was before. I'm gonna fucking follow the advice of, or I'm gonna turn Ivan style.
Going all Ivan.
So it seems that Ursula is just kind of beat up emotionally. She can't. It's too much for her to like be mad at Khan. She doesn't want to do it. She doesn't want to like revolt or anything. After her son died, she doesn't want to deal with anything. So Ivan says, "Great. Khan's gonna fuck us over. Let's tell everyone, and they'll all help us, and that way we can do the thing." And she's like, "Well, they're all starving and fucked up, so you know, and I don't even care anymore." And he's like, "Come on, you're super mad. I know you are." Yeah. She's like, "Okay, fine, but I want a spot on the ship." Yeah. And then it ends with her like doing a mini mourning of Paolo, like we discussed about her with the stars, which is it was interesting at the time. At the time, I was listening, thinking like, "How can she simply join Khan? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, join Ivan." Yeah. And simultaneously mourn Paolo, who was killed by Ivan, but then we find out later it was probably a ruse. I mean, she didn't. There's nothing that specifically says it was a ruse or she changed her mind, but we can probably figure it was a ruse.
And an example of how Ivan, again, and more seriously in this case, what's that common phrase the kids like, fuck around and find out? He fucked around, he found out. He did not need to kill Paolo, right? He talks about, like, whether that was him or her son, whatever the deal was. The point is that Paolo was...
We fought.
He was, like, well-liked.
We lost.
It's like, how is that going to help you killing that person?
Yeah,
you know, it's like killing that alien. It didn't. He thought it was like the right thing to do. And
he just likes to kill people.
Yeah, exactly. He's an asshole.
Yeah,
just like killing
superior intellect.
So even a potential ally in Ursula is perfectly happy to fuck him over in the end.
Yeah. So that ends that scene. Short scene where Kali's saying goodbye to her pillows and rocks and shit like that. And then Mado gives her a tape of Marla giving history lessons, basically. Mm-hmm. And Mado gathers Kali and they go meet up with Khan. That was pretty straightforward.
Straightforward and touching.
Yep. Number three. So this part, it's less like scenes and more just going in and outside of the ship. It's like one long scene, but it's divided by outside, inside of the ship. So it's it starts with Khan and company sort of checking the ship, making sure it's tip top. They're inside the ship. Joachim suggests that they he's basically like let's fuck it, let's just meet up with Starfleet, you know, they're pretty much everywhere. And you know, we don't have much time, you know.
Khan gives him this whole rigmarole, which is probably something that Khan actually thinks, but he's also doing it to manipulate Joachim. Like he's setting things up so that he doesn't have to help his own people. It's weird that he's like going out of his way to not want to have anybody come back and help these people.
Yeah.
Right? You know? Which makes more sense towards the end. But like at this stage, it's kind of funny that he's like, I really really want to arrange things such that nobody's going to be suspicious that we're not actually helping anybody.
And so I'm wondering if you're referring to this. Khan says, whether or not Kirk believed we would die here is no longer the issue. He could easily have imprisoned us in a Federation facility, but he didn't because he knew no such place could ever hold us for long. He feared us. Where I am, I would have left standing orders to kill anyone who managed to escape the world on sight.
It's a chain of logic intended to convince Joachim, we're not going to communicate, we're not going to do this, we're not going to touch base, we're going to go as far as we can. Right?
Yeah, but it's...
It makes sense, but it's also, I think, a manipulation.
It is, but it also falls in line with Khan's thinking of leave it to Khan to take an act of mercy that Kirk had, where he left, instead of imprisoning him, he threw him a ship, and he twisted into an act of fear, and
I'm so awesome, it's me, yeah, I'm so awesome!
You know, it's like, he didn't do me a nice thing by putting me on the planet, he was scared that we were gonna break out of their prison, you know, so it wasn't Kirk giving him a second chance, he was just scared that he wouldn't be able to contain Khan, you know, and so, yes, he's manipulating Joachim, but it does fall in line with his pattern of behavior of, like, you know how Del Mondo, why would you, so you're so powerful, why would you sink to our level to help us? You must be trying to fuck us over somehow. And he's just like, come on,
Del Mondo's
man.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
All right. Next scene.
There was one part I wanted to mention where Khan says, if Starfleet wants us dead, as I'm certain they do, we will be presenting ourselves like lambs to the slaughter. And Joachim sounds like he's giving some lip service here.
It must please you to know that you have already bested him. Because of your superior intellect and leadership, your people will survive and begin again on a new world.
You know, like it almost sounds like he's, I mean, you could, maybe Joachim is being honest when he says that, but it almost sounds like he's just telling Khan what he wants to hear. He's like, because you're a superior intellect.
That's the ticket.
Because when Khan talks about fantasizing about killing Kirk, that's what he does next. Joachim, surprisingly, he says, vengeance is a waste of time.
Vengeance is a waste of time.
Which is totally not in line with what he just said. He was like, Khan, your superior strength, your superior intellect. And Khan is like, yes, vengeance will be ours. And he's like, well, vengeance is a waste of time. So he's complimenting him, but he's kind of criticizing him right after that. And that pissed Khan off.
Well, and I think it's laying the groundwork for what we see between these two characters in Star Trek II, which is both a reverence for Khan. Joachim has this reverence for Khan, but is also sensible and saying, like, dude, you have already demonstrated that you're better. Like he says that here. He also says it in Star Trek II at another similar decision point, trying to get Khan to not make the decision about vengeance and make the decision that will actually save the people. And so it's another, I think this is an example of a clever mirroring of those storyline points from the Khan story.
And this is another part that is sort of flipped, took one thing and Khan flipped it and reversed it.
Yes. Is your flipper never wet yet? Is that how that goes? I don't know.
That
was a long time ago.
It's quite a song.
He didn't know.
Khan says, where'd you learn this kind of talk? And he goes, Del Mondo told me. And then he goes, never again speak of Del Mondo's name to me. Never again allow his limited worldview to infect your own. I mean, it seems like one of those moments where someone is criticizing someone else by calling them something they might feel insecure about in relation to themselves.
It's another example.
Because Khan is the one with the limited world view here.
Well, also Khan, as we've mentioned repeatedly, one of Khan's main tactics is to attempt to control information.
Yeah.
And where he can't actually control the flow of information, he tries to control the interpretation of information.
Yeah.
And what he's doing here is he's telling Joaquin, do not listen. Shut your mind off to another idea. As opposed to, if you actually believed this person is a smart, intelligent person, be like, no, listen to all the ideas. You'll figure out what makes sense or not.
It's just funny he chose the words limited worldview, which has been his criticism for both Del Monde and Marla.
It's a projection business.
Yeah. So Kali enters and she's all like, you know, super hyped to go into space.
Daddy, I'm going into space.
Which I really like that line. And then Mado notices that the people haven't left. They're just kind of milling about. Khan leaves the ship. Now we're outside. And Khan approaches them and they're all pissed off. They're like, Kali's going to stay. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to leave us behind.
Hostage type action.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. That's actually not a bad strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice when you see the genetically superior people actually come up with a fairly basic, but good strategy.
But
so many of their strategies are colossally stupid.
Yeah, they are. They really are. So of course, Khan denies it and Ivan shows up and Khan's like, oh, hey, Ivan, it's great to see you. Glad you didn't die after I sent you to death, you know? And Ursa's like, yeah, I'm with Ivan now. And she references Paolo's death by Ivan. Mm-hmm. And Ivan strangely goes, I did not give you leave to speak to Ursula. He like tells Ursula to shut up.
Because he's trying to be Khan. He's acting like Khan was in the first episode.
It just seemed kind of like an awkward way of doing it, you know? Because it's not even like she... It's not, I don't know. It's, yeah, he was trying to be like Khan, but he did it awkwardly.
Well, and they've also presented him or positioned him as misogynistic.
That is true.
Yeah, because even in the Space Seed, right, that Khan was not considered, he was misogynistic in some senses that he was very quote unquote masculine or whatever, but he seemed to treat men and women equally.
Yeah.
Ivan, not so much. We've seen multiple occasions where he's at least been happy to leverage somebody's gender as an insult or as a negative.
Mm-hmm. So now Ivan's giving the inspirational speeches to the people. And this is actually the first callback. I don't know if we actually want to go through my list of callbacks.
Yeah, let's do the list. We can do that and then head into break. How about that?
Okay. So this is the first callback, but I'll just go through all the callbacks.
All right.
That's works that for you.
Good. Do
so,
it.
So Ivan's given the inspirational speech this time, like that, like Khan was doing before. And he's doing the callback to ours was the superior strength. Ours was the superior intellect. Mm-hmm. He uses, and Khan uses that previously. He goes,
superior intellect.
He's like, that Khan used those exact words.
And Joaquin uses it in Star Trek too. Except he's like, yours is superior.
Yes, you know. Oh, he does.
There's multiple little references.
Mm-hmm. Number two of callbacks, Callback City, is Del Monde is going to sacrifice himself in the pandem to save Kali. And Khan says, why don't you save yourself? And Del Monde calls back with, how one dies matters not, only how one lives.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of, but it's also, as a side note, it's kind of funny that Khan is still, even after he's redeemed himself, he's still like, why are you doing the selfless act? It's like, this is what we've been talking about for the past however many years.
You got a long way to go, Khan.
Even in your redemption, you still don't get it. Number three, the Elborians put up the shield around the ship or whatever to help it. And Erica goes, what's going on? And Ursula tells Eric, oh, the Elborians are protecting the ship and Kali. And then she tells Erica to run. And then Ursula zaps Khan with the Marla phaser.
No, Ivan.
I'm sorry. Ivan. Yes, you're right. I'm sorry.
He's acting so much like Khan.
Yeah, I know.
You're getting confused.
You know, I actually made a few mistakes here and there with mixing Ivan up with Khan, which is interesting. They were effective in making Ivan seem like Khan, at least with me. So that's not an explicit callback, but it is kind of like a callback because you're just like, oh, that's the phaser that Erica used. And not only is it the phaser that Erica used, it's the Ursula had a previous history with that phaser. Mm-hmm. Like Ursula was in the past, was like, oh, that what's that crazy thing?
Marla shot the
SETI eel.
Yeah, the SETI eel.
Yeah, and so it's Ursula was like, what's that thing? And then she gets to use it in the end. So it's kind of like a callback.
And it is also fun to remind ourselves that these folks are from the 1990s. So using a phaser is pretty rad.
Yeah, I can imagine. I would love to use a cool phaser.
Good sound effect, too.
I know. Number four is when the tape was playing, Marla is giving a history lesson. She starts referencing Hernan Cortez again.
Yeah. And calling him a coward.
Yeah. She's calling him a total coward.
From the grave, she teaches Khan a lesson.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this scene, that particular scene where Khan is like, oh shit, I'm a total fucking dickhead.
Yeah.
And then realizes.
The truth is that he was a coward.
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Just that he that's where he realizes, I've got to stay behind. Mm. I'll do what's right for my people and for my daughter.
That's a good point. And the final callback I have listed, there might have been more. Joachim hands Khan back when Khan goes into battle with what's his name?
With Ivan?
Ivan. I have to mention them both in the same thing.
Snappy, Mr. Ivan.
Joachim hands Khan back his blade that Erica fixed up and gave to Joachim. Mm-hmm. So that blade has made the rounds,
Circle blade.
Circle of blades. They fight. So that's kind of like a callback too, you know, and the fact that, yeah, like the blade ended up with Khan, Delmonda's crew fucked it up, and then Erica fixed it to give to Joachim to protect himself, but then Joachim ended up giving it to Khan so he could kill Ivan. Yeah, it was a big circle of blades.
Totally.
So, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, that was good. Good callbacks.
Good callbacks. Yeah. We still have a few minutes left. Nice.
Oh, before the breaks, you want to do one more thing from the list of business?
The list of business.
What was on? We were seeing 4, 5, 7, 8, 12?
13. This is Ivan says that this is after, so Ivan gives an inspirational speech about we're the superior intellect and strength and stuff, and he tells Khan that Khan sucks and he's selfish and he betrayed him and he took advantage of him and all this stuff, and then he calls him a mongrel loving coward, which is uncalled for, which I'm guessing is because he loved a non-augment.
Well, we mentioned this last week. Not only did he fall in love with Marla, who's a non-augment, his favorite people are Kali, who is half-augment, half-non-augment, and Joachim, who is half-augment, half-regular old person. So, yeah, we suspected that was going to be an angle that Ivan could leverage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then this scene ends with actually another callback that I think we might have alluded to earlier, which was the...
Ivan!
Instead of Khan, like the whole, Ivan's got people chanting for him instead of people.
The advantage of having two syllables in the name is helpful for a chant, but the Khan chant's still pretty good. It's straightforward. It's like more aggressive.
Khan. It's more percussive. Indeed. But Ivan is got more swing to it.
All right, what's next?
Next is the next scene, which is scene 4. We will begin that with back in the ship. And honestly, the division between scene 3 and scene 4 is a little arbitrary, because you can kind of put it wherever you want. But back in the ship, they're freaked out by what's going on outside. Mm-hmm. And they talk about going outside, and Madeau basically says, you know, she goes...
I will kill you with my bare hands.
If they try to go outside, which every once in a while, Madeau gets up in someone's face.
She's like, they can't get in. So they're like, leave it be.
Yeah. And she's not afraid to be like, I'm going to fuck you up. Yeah. Like when she feels like she's like really peaceful most of the time and really loving and understanding. But when you push her and she's really protecting she doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. You take it seriously. You're like, she means business.
Yeah. And then outside, you know, it's Ivan's telling Khan, you're donezo. And Ivan's like, we're going to go into the ship. And Khan says, nuh-uh, because you know why? It's locked.
Yeah.
And so then he tells him about the small window.
And like the Apollo 1 capsule, you can only open it from the inside. Mm-hmm. So you better hope there's not an oxygen-fueled fire burning those poor people
crispy
to death. It was an awful tragedy.
What was it you said, Jesse? Crispy what?
Crispy critters.
Highly offensive, but not inaccurate. But not inaccurate.
Khan was basically like, you know, we only have a limited time to send this thing up, so I'm not going to let you in. You're not going to get in, so you're screwed, you know? And of course,
a Black Friday sale here in the United States after Thanksgiving. Oh, shit. Only have a limited time.
Yeah, limited time.
Limited time.
And that limited time has been extended to like Monday now.
Yeah, it's not that limited, actually.
And then that's beyond that. Then, of course, they try to break in anyway. And then inside, Kali's listening to more history lessos.
If you live in Australia, I'm thinking of you, Isaac, and we have a lot of other listeners in Australia. Please write in to feedback@itscottstartrek.com and let us know if lessos is how Australians shorten the term lessons.
Between my lessos, I go on smoko.
Yeah.
Oh no.
And then Paolo's wanting to help Khan.
Paolo goes on smoko. Paolo's dead.
Joachim. I'm getting all sorts of names mixed up in this.
I know, it's confusing.
I'm a loser.
Keep them all straight.
How about this? Why don't we take a break?
Well, I think it's about time we take a
break. Let's take a break and we'll untangle all this business. And then when we get back, we will have. We'll do a WTHHTIMB. What was it? Where the hell have I heard Be right back.
Now go, quickly.
Go, before I change my mind.
And we're back.
Khan has returned.
Right. Get on with it.
Get on with it, indeed. Indeed.
A moment, please.
Okay, so we
Time is of the essence.
Time is the fire in which we burn.
Mm.
Isn't that Malcolm McDowell in Generations? I think that's Malcolm McDowell in Generations.
Could
And then Picard is like, I like to think of time as a friend. joins us along the way.
I know we're about to play a game. I was just going to mention, there were a lot of yodels in this episode.
Yodeling.
And I recorded all four yodels, but they're like each like 10 to 20 seconds long. So I don't know if we have time to play them at any point.
Well, we want to finish our discussion of the episode. Mm-hmm. We want to have some discussion of the series generally.
Maybe you can put them at the end or something.
Podcast. I'm kind of keen to listen to the yodel. Business.
Yeah. Sounds cool.
How about
and there was a Marla. There was a Marla's song too.
These are surprises. Yeah. You didn't tell us.
I didn't tell you. I'm sorry. I didn't.
You gotta tell us so we can prepare.
That's all right. And I found these are new kinds of beats I want to play. They're beats that it's Marla making a noise and it sounds like a percussion instrument.
Okay. is it only Marla?
Lear.
Oh, Lear. Lear. Okay. All right.
Doesn't that sound like a snare or something?
Snare, hi-hat, some business. Okay. Now, increasingly, this is going to be frustrating for me because you have all the skills necessary to take this audio information mm-hmm. and produce excellent tunes. For those who are unfamiliar, Dan is a very clever musician going way back to when we were 14, 15, and he was using trackers, mod trackers, whatnots, and MS-DOS, the old MS-DOS, and producing all sorts of crazy, wild techno music and things like that. So you have the skills. I know you do.
I have all these beats now.
And now you've got all these audio clips that we've always said, hey, wouldn't it be fun if you made some music? And now you got some fucking hi-hats out of weird breathy sounds.
I think it was from...
You gotta do something with it. Otherwise, one of our audience members, hint, hint, wink, wink, is gonna do something themselves.
Somebody's gonna beat your ass.
Well, you mean beat his ass to it?
Beat my ass.
Do you mean they're just gonna beat his ass?
I think somebody's just gonna.
I was trying to imply that one of our members of our audience is gonna beat you to it, to the creation of a clever techno, EDM, whatever you wanna call it, type tune, using some of these. Some of these sound effects.
Yeah. One of these days, right?
One of these days.
Dan seems...
He just never, ever learned.
Does not seem worried that he will be overtaken in this quest by an...
Do you think that was his worst failing?
She was a little slurry there. All right. Let's get down to business with our new weekly game that we're really trying to force down the listeners' throats called Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before?
All right.
Conveniently shortened to WTHHIHTB.
Conveniently.
Well, for social media and whatnots, it's helpful to use that.
Oh, if you got character limits.
Yeah. Although, for now, I use both that and the full name because the full name isn't recognized yet. Once it's recognized brand, then we can stick to just the WTHHIHTB. But until then, you have to explain what that means.
Totally.
It actually takes up more space for the time being.
How long did it take you to figure that one out?
It's all about the long-term thinking. Okay, so where the hell have I heard that before? In brief, we play a clip from somewhere in the Star Trek franchise, and you got a week as an audience. The audience, you get to, this is an audience interaction thing. You send in where you think that audio clip is from? What show, movie, character, et cetera? Give us as much information as you can. The person with the most information is the winner. So people were having some trouble with this, so I tried to make it super easy last week. And so I think that was helpful because we did get a number of people who got at least some information right, and we do have one definitive winner. So first, I will play the clip from last week.
Jess, coffee.
All right. What I've done there is I've accidentally double-clicked.
You double-click. I've done that.
I just need to single-click.
Don't push it, Tuvok.
So we already know what it is, but I'm going to single-click it nevertheless for good measure.
Jess, coffee.
Okay. So we had plenty of people know that this was it from Voyager, and that it was Captain Janeway talking about one of her favorite things. But we only had one person guess the actual specific episode and context. Do either of you know or realize where this is from?
Just coffee.
Just coffee.
Somebody must have offered her some kind of crazy beverage or something.
Jesse, any thoughts?
No, I don't remember the specifics of the episode.
So
was it Neelix? Did Neelix offer her some crazy vittles?
So Dan's zeroing in on it.
Yeah, maybe so.
This is Janeway talking to Neelix in the Voyager season one episode, The Cloud. And why this episode is special is because it's the source of the meme of Janeway saying, "There's coffee in that nebula."
There's coffee.
That sort of petered out, Dan. So everyone knows that quote.
It's the coffee episode.
Now, what this line is not her saying, "There's coffee in that nebula." This is previous to that because what it is it's that she's talking to space creep, noted space creep Neelix, and he's lying to her because they've They've run out of coffee in the stores. This is episode 6 of the first season. They've already run out of coffee. That's how much coffee Janeway's been drinking. So they've run out of coffee, and Janeway's sort of freaking out a little bit. And so she's talking to Neelix because he's made himself the space creep chef. And he says, "I have something that's even better than coffee." And she's saying, "I just want coffee," as in, like, he's like, "I can give you all this other stuff." She's like, "Just coffee." Yeah. And then he serves her a drink that is disgusting.
Yeah. Some kind of bird.
And it helps motivate her because in the nebula, there's some sort of plasma or whatever that they can use in the replicators. They can recharge the replicators. They can make coffee again. Okay. Mm. So that's why she says, "There's coffee in that nebula." Mm-hmm. So, congratulations to Amy Gozleski. Who DM'd us the correct answer on Instagram.
All right.
So thank you, Amy. Correct answer. Props go to you. You win for this week. All right. Now, for next week. Next week, we have our next entry in where the hell have I heard that before? I'll play this clip twice, and then you will send in your guesses. And then we will do this again next week. And it's going to be fun. It's going to generate audience interaction and engagement. That's what we're doing here. All right, folks? It's a team thing, okay?
It's a team.
Here we go.
I know exactly where that is.
I'm trying to make it easy.
I know exactly
where that is. I know exactly where that is. Y'all want to hear it again? You're going to hear it again, and then you send in your guesses. Send them into feedback@discussstartrek.com or DM us. Direct message us on one of the many fine social media fascist platforms that are out there that we all interact with. We're on all of them. At It's Got Star Trek. Blue Sky is one of our favorites, though, but you'll find us on the other ones as well. All right. One more time. WTHHIHTB. Time to guess.
Dan thinks
he knows where it is coming from. Dan, I'm sure.
I think this qualifies as irony that this is the one that of all the ones we've got, the one that seems to have the least amount of
the least amount of context and information. But actually, there's so much in there.
Yeah,
so much in there.
Yes.
All right, folks. Thanks for having fun with this. We hope you are as well.
Yes.
Now,
back
to the future. What's wrong, Doctor? We become assholes or something?
Yeah.
Your kids become assholes.
So yeah, we're talking about
Scene 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Kali was listening to the more history lessons. Joachim wanted to help Khan. Outside, Khan and Ivan are bickering, and people are trying to rip open the hatch. So this is the meeting with Ivan that seems like it was the catalyst to Khan's redemption, this whole thing. Like, the meeting with Ivan, that, and this is sort of... I mean, also what Marla was saying, but this whole sort of squishy section is kind of... And him seeing Ivan come back. Because suddenly he starts with Ivan, he starts talking about how... He says, we're not superior... you and I are both savages, in fact, you know, and he's like, you're not just the only asshole here. He goes, I'm the asshole too. You know, we're all a bunch of assholes.
It's an interesting realization he has.
You and I are savages.
Because he makes that comment about how we are better than these other people, but we're still not perfect, that we are a part annoys me. It's my bugaboo about people thinking of evolution as some sort of ladder of advancement towards something. That's not how evolution works. Mm. But in the context of what Khan is saying, his philosophy is we are on the path of improvement, but we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. And that's a certain weird form of humility, brief humility that Khan has.
Yeah, and he also, basically he's saying that he's coming to the realization that Kali is like the only innocent person in this whole situation, really. Yeah. And so it's all about her now. And he knows that he saved her and they're not going to get in. And so, you know, last week when I was talking about how Khan was telling Del Monde, you know, everyone dies, you know, it's just how you manage to live. And I was saying that's kind of hypocritical of someone who's going to go on and live their life to tell someone who's going to die. It's like, we all die, you know, but
Busy living or get busy dying.
Yeah.
From Shawshank Redemption.
Right. But
Brooks was here.
But now he redeemed himself from that statement before. Because like I said, he was like, everyone, like, you know, it only matters how you live. Okay, you're going to die tomorrow and I'm going to live forever. And it's easy for me to say. But now Khan's actually following through with that. He's like, I'm going to live correctly and I'm going to die, but it's all good because Kali is going to get away, and that's great, you know. So,
which is, by the way, not an uncommon response for people having a child.
Yeah,
you have a child, and you're like, "Oh, I'm an asshole. Everyone I know is an asshole. The child's innocent. I want to give this child the best opportunity to grow up into their own type of asshole."
And I mean, I guess there is a certain amount of selfishness to it because it's his child. Yeah. But at the same point, he's still, you know, willing to die regardless of the reason. He's okay with dying, which is, you know, interesting.
It
you
is
know?
Yeah.
Makes his previous statement have a little bit more truth to it, I guess. There was more clamoring going on.
There's a lot of clamoring.
Conflicting commands. Ursula and Ivan were just saying different shit.
No.
Back inside, they're hearing them on the outside and Callie's freaking out, and
this is where you
Joachim's
understand,
like, I'm gonna go get him.
The actor they got to play the child, unfortunately, I forgot to look up her name. I thought really did an excellent job here. Last week, I was commenting that she was good, but a little precocious. Mm-hmm. But this episode, I was like, okay, I get it. I get why this is a really good actor here.
We need help.
That was upsetting.
Yeah, that was.
Totally.
It was like really upsetting.
Yeah, that was upsetting.
Good for her.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Sorry, while you were doing that, I was trying to find her name on IMDb, but she's not on the front page of IMDb. So, wow, it's not making it easy to look. She must be one of the additional voices.
IMDb is a great resource, and they're such a great resource that they've been kind enough to make sure that they keep upgrading, quote unquote, their interface to make it harder and harder to find the information you want.
I know.
Because heaven forbid if you could find the information too quickly. One should take a break in time. You should be able
it's
to.
It's like a real library.
Slow down, you know, go back to the olden days of the internet where, you know, it was 58K baud and it took you a while to download stuff.
Yeah. The only one they give is the name of Sonia Cassidy, who was Dr. Rosalind Lear / Kali Noonien Singh, but they're not, it's hard to find the kid's voice.
Interesting.
Well, I'm sure it's out there.
Lame.
So, yeah, so Joachim's is like, I'm gonna go get those dudes, and then Del Monde appears in Kali's mind, a Del Monde moment, and he and he's all like, you know, be not afraid, my child, which is kind of like, it's like, be not afraid, you know, it's a little on the nose.
Word.
It's like, what are you, Jesus or something? You know, I don't know.
It's just
one of those wordings that it's just kind of like, be not afraid, my child. You know, it's like you're being kind of dramatic there. You know.
Yep.
You know,
Be not afraid, my child.
Next, by the way, quick aside. Next week, Dan's going to be like, can you call me out if I say, you know? Say, you know a lot. I'm saying, you know a lot.
I don't. But
call
see,
me out if I say, you know.
That's not my problem. My problem is with likes. The, you know, I may have done a lot now, but I'm okay with anomalous you knows.
Anomalous you knows.
Yeah. Yeah, and then outside of Ivan's, you know, those fucking Alborians, and then Khan senses Delmonda. So Delmonda talks with Kali, and then Delmonda talks with Khan, and they have a touching moment together, Khan and Delmonda. They kind of make up.
Khan and Delmonda.
Yeah. Khan and Delmonda.
Congo bongo.
Yeah. By a lot the way, of nutty fun.
Okay, everyone, please scroll back a little bit. I can't remember when. We had some issue or something, but we put one of our Patreon shows on in which we discuss the Congo bongo bongo Congo business. Mm-hmm. You don't know what that means. Go listen to it. You will enjoy that episode. All right, Dan.
Yeah.
Back to you.
Yeah. And this is the part where I mentioned previously when, you know, Khan is having this great moment with Delmonda. And it's funny how he's still asking Delmonda why he stayed and didn't save himself. So mm-hmm. Khan still is not quite getting the whole selflessness, even though he is being selfless for Kali. He still doesn't get why Delmonda's helping him. I don't know.
Still didn't quite understand.
Then outside, Erica, this is like when Erica's, I gave this as one of the callback moments where Erica is like, what's going on? And Erica says, oh, the Alborians are helping her. And then Ursula goes and zaps Ivan. And then Khan and Ursula have a nice makeup moment. Ursula makes up with Khan. But,
sort of, yeah.
Sort of. And she also makes up with Madou without even talking to Madou, really. It's like there's some kind of implied makeup thing that goes on.
Yeah, because she's like, get her on the ship.
Get her on the
like,
ship,
I want
yeah.
her to survive.
Yeah.
But, I may be wrong about this, but I've understood that Ursula tried to shoot Khan with the phaser, but I guess it had run out of battery or something. Oh,
is that what you think?
It wasn't 100% clear, but there's a sound where like, So she phasers Ivan and then Khan was all like, oh, ooh, or something. And then you hear her go like click and it goes like, it makes like a phaser fizzly sound. Like it doesn't quite work. And then she's like, ugh, and like tosses it to the ground. So I think she was gonna shoot Khan as well, but then it was kind of like when the gun runs out of bullets.
So there's an interesting suspense and sort of questions that can be leveraged through the audio only format. That mm-hmm. being one of them, not being able to see it. Another one was when Khan killed Ivan. Mm-hmm. If we didn't know that Khan lives on, you don't know who dies.
Yeah, it's all like slit, yeah. It's like slit throat sounds. Yeah, and you're like, and
you're like, somebody died. We don't know who.
Yeah.
Like we do know, but like if we didn't know that from
if
another
we didn't
movie,
know, we wouldn't know. Know.
Point being is that the fact that you can't see it, it's kind of an interesting way of leveraging suspense through audio only.
Agreed.
So he's Bit Khan says, you know, yeah, Madou can get a spot on the ship, which is kind of fucked up for Joachim. You know, so there seems like there's so many people getting teased into thinking that they're going to get on this damn ship. Yeah. And at the last minute, Khan's like, oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. You're going to go do this now.
That guy sucks.
Yeah. And then Ursula does the whole, you know, they part ways and she does the whole, now before I change my mind joke, you know, where the person does the nice thing and the other person is super grateful and the person jokes like they might take it back when they, of course, are not going to take it back, you know. You know, it doesn't really. It's one of those lines that not necessary. I don't like those.
Those lines tend to stand out a little bit more when there's an actual active countdown going on.
Yeah.
And time is of the essence.
Yeah, just I guess they just seemed like they did it because it was like an Ursula type thing to say. You know, before I change my mind. You know, yeah, I don't know. So they Khan and Delmonda. Yeah.
Khan and Delmonda.
Then Joachim inside, Joachim and Kimura chatting about the pandem is going to die. And Khan gets in and says, we're going. And then Madou says her goodbyes to Kali. And then Khan's like, hold on there 1 minute, cowboy. And then that's when.
wasn't that a Lily Allen song, 1 minute, cowboy? Maybe not.
We were just talking about Lily Allen.
Yeah. Like previous to the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I revealed our secret.
I
told you.
Secret conversation topic.
I told you I wasn't
secrets
gonna,
in the sauce.
Yeah. I told you I wasn't going to reveal your secrets.
Right, but hunting around for a sound, you're not.
I will not reveal your secret.
All right. Well, you revealed my secret about hunting around for a sound.
Hunting and pecking.
So that's when he says, Joachim, you thought, you know, you're going to live and get to chill, but it turns out you're going to have to go live the rest of your life on this fucking miserable planet instead. And Joachim's basically awesome. That's great. You know,
yeah.
He's totally not at all annoyed that Khan like doesn't volunteer to do it himself instead.
He both can see Khan's flaws, but is still like into him.
So Joachim gets kind of fucked over in this whole sort of situation. Yeah,
Say that.
So his journey is first Joachim is the very beginning of the ship's journey. He's like, I'm just going to live on this planet and do this planet thing. Mm-hmm. And then Khan comes along and says, nope, last minute change of plans. You're steering the ship. Mm-hmm. And so then Joachim basically says, oh, fuck, that sucks. Oh, I'm so nervous. Okay, I better get used to this. Okay, I can do this. And right as he's getting used to the idea of piloting the ship, as he's getting on the ship, getting ready to leave, Khan's like, change of plans. You're going to stay on this planet after all. But hey, guess what? You get to lead the people. Yeah. You know, and he's
just
like, Joachim's like,
chicken butt.
He's like, oh, fuck, but okay, I get to lead the people. That's something. And at the very last fucking second, as the ship is blasting off, Khan appears right after Joachim is about to give his new leader speech. Yeah. He's about to give his leader speech. Yeah. And Khan goes, change plans.
He all like raises his voice. He's like, hey, my people.
Yeah. And Khan's like, don't worry. You do get to stay on this shithole planet, but I'm actually going to be the one who's leading again, turns out. Yeah. So it's like all this whirlwind of changes for Joachim this whole fucking time. But he's must like Khan that much, you know, I guess. I don't know. If he was Paolo, he would not have been taking any of that shit.
Then
Khan tells Kimura, he's like, the old Borians are not so bad after all, and Kimura's like, I agree, like a weird robot. He goes now I'm hunting for sounds again. There were a lot of sounds. This is my most sounds yet.
I agree.
I like how he says it.
I agree.
Then we hear more history lessons from Marla. The callback to Hernan Cortez, and then she talks about how historians should always seek truth and how history is like the most important thing ever invented or whatever. Like everyone who's into their chosen career is like, my career is the best career ever.
History is pretty cool.
And then Khan has his super, it is cool. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying there's a lot of cool things. Khan has a super moment. He's basically like, Kali, I'm a stupid liar and I suck and that's not right. You should get raised by a cool dude. And that cool dude is Delmonda. Mm. And so that's when Khan jumps out of the ship and he tells Delmonda to go with her on the ship instead. Right. So he sends, Joachim off, which is like, Joachim's like, fuck, but then he goes himself. So another little redemption there. So that moment right there was pretty badass for Khan. So he saved Delmonda's life and he makes Delmonda happy by letting him raise Kali. Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't work out that way, but,
well, it did, except he didn't realize.
Yeah.
He misperceived. There was a misperception going on.
Yeah. And Kali's sad that Khan can't raise her, but he knows that's pretty much the best move for, it's probably the best move for his people, even if it isn't much help to his people. He needs to be there for moral support. And really, Khan, I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think Khan should have like stayed with Kali? Or I think
I buy into how it all unfolded. Yeah.
I think it was good that I think it was good that he let, Kali.
Yeah. I wouldn't. Selfless is not the right word, but it's in that direction, right?
I mean, yeah,
he's trying.
There's still
trying.
It's his child, so that he's protecting, but it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Anyway, they all trudge off, and Ivan calls them, and they have a super fight, and they fight, and have the fight, and then there's all these fight noises. All those kinds of noises. That was a fun fight. What'd you guys think about that fight?
It was good.
I couldn't believe my ears.
Yeah. And Khan didn't want to kill. Khan revealed, he's like, I didn't want to kill you. I just wanted to hurt you. And then Ivan likes that. Ivan likes that because it means Khan's not as weak as Ivan thought he was. Yeah. And then Ivan dies. Bleh. And then Khan pulls out the, I cannot forgive you because I cannot blame you for what you are, they made for both of us to be, which I guess is, kind of cool thing to say.
An acknowledgement.
Acknowledgement. Yeah.
Something was done to them.
And then this is the next scene is Ursula trying to contact the Venture as it flies off. And Eric is like, no way, dude, they're dead. We saw the clouds explode. And then they're all sad. And then Joachim shows up and Erica's less sad because she gets to see Joachim. And then Joachim has like 24 other people. And then there's like 31 survivors total or something. And Khan says, what's the deal with the ship? What's the deal with the ship? Hey, Willie, what's the deal?
Nobody understands space travel, so they got it completely wrong.
Yeah, they did.
Well, and I was really curious how they were going to set this up, because at this point, we're most of the way through the episode, and Khan is still, he's grown even further. And I was like, well, we're still not at Star Trek II Khan yet.
Yeah, right.
So this was a really interesting solution to have him plausibly perceive that all his plans have gone awry. His daughter is dead. And he's got to lead these stragglers. So it becomes more plausible that he would twist and turn into the Ivan type character, vengeful character. I still don't know if I buy why he's like super mad at Kirk specifically.
Yeah.
But I do really think they did a good job of presenting a scenario where he had this growth and then this perceived tragedy. You can imagine, we know how much he cares for Kali, how much he cared for Marla, and how that added on to his caring for Kali as like the last remnant of Marla. So you can see how this might drive a man to madness.
Drive a man to madness.
Drove a man to madness.
But it's interesting, because literally all he had to do was not break that shit for another 5 minutes. Yeah. And he would have had it. But
well,
Khan,
they say 5 minutes. I mean,
all he had to do was not break the communicator.
Yeah, exactly. That's like it's like a silly thing to do. So it's almost a little like, okay, narratively, like, really?
Yeah.
He's just like, okay, all right. Well, okay, Khan's ridiculous. So maybe he did that.
Yeah. He made some positive insight later on after this whole thing when they listened back again. He goes, "Eternity's true form is the fire itself. Nothing we create can endure. There's no point in even trying. Every good thing will eventually take its opposite form." Now, this is kind of a negative sort of spin on it, but I like the premise of like, there's no point in getting too obsessed with all these sort of temporary things, right?
Yeah.
Like, we just have to appreciate what we are appreciating, you know?
Right,
the idea of appreciating, the fact that we can appreciate things and not get too hung up on the specifics, like if my iPad breaks or some shit like that, which is a nice sentiment. And there's a lot of good things to say there, but then in the usual Khan form, he had to fuck it all up at the end. Mm. Instead of being like, material goods are stupid, worrying is dumb, just enjoy what you can, he says, material goods are stupid, worrying is dumb, all that matters is I find and kill Kirk.
Yeah.
So he got fucked it up again. Khan's like so close every time to getting it right, and then he fucks it up.
Verging into like discovering stoicism, and instead it just becomes Moby Dick, becomes Ahab in Moby Dick.
So, right. So I want to real quick. So Lear was basically like, we don't have to go through all the Tuvok stuff at the end. I mean, this is pretty simple.
We already touched on that. Yeah. A little bit.
But what was Lear? What do you think Lear was actually looking for? What do you guys think? Because she doesn't.
In terms of beaming down?
Well, because Tuvok said, "Did you find what you were looking for?" And she was like, "No." And he goes, "Well, you didn't listen to the last thing yet." And the last thing was revealing that he did not abandon her. He thought she died. And so was she trying to figure out if he was really that big of an asshole like Starfleet said? Yeah. Or was she trying to figure out why he would abandon her? Was she just in denial about the fact that he was so consumed with rage about, I don't know.
I think there are multiple interpretations. You've cited a few of them. The one I kind of looked at it as is that she approached this from the beginning, which put Sulu off and others. She approached this as suspicion that the official story was not the true story.
Right.
And now working backwards, we understand that that is plausibly motivated by the fact that when she last saw Khan, he was a really nice person who had made this sacrifice for her, was saying all the right things. And so in her mind, she's like, how could this person square with the crazy vengeful Ahab character that they picked up, you know, with the boobs sticking out and the nipples and stuff? How could they do that?
With the boobs sticking out.
You know, his Montalban looking all sexy.
I had no idea what you're talking about. The whale's boobs?
No, not the whale's boobs.
He's got a big chest.
No,
he does have a big chest.
That was my thinking, is that the official story that we could, if we were assuming Star Trek II is an accurate record, she's like, how does that square with the person I left before, you know, who was so nice and wonderful?
Yeah.
And now she understands that all that growth that he had was done away with and replaced by vengeance because he thought she was dead.
Yeah. And that also explains why he didn't look for her, which she probably was also stressing about as well. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. There.
Do you yield? Do you yield? Do you yield?
You mentioned something about the
Do you yield?
The
never!
I will never yield to you.
Crackety crack, punch, punch.
What was it, Dan? You had some Marla songs. You mentioned the Marla songs.
Let's play some Marla. There was this Marla. So we've heard Marla hum a bit in the past, and there was a little bit more of it right here. Get to fully hear this song, but this one played a little bit more this time. It almost sounded like she was singing some lyrics this time. There was about a minute of yodeling too. I don't know if
I want to hear some yodeling.
Okay, so here's a yodel out. That was that was the singer going doing the yodel.
More
it
like
was the
a
same.
Banshee.
It's the same singer though. I just called it.
Because isn't a yodeling characterized in some places by like rapid changes in octave?
I know. I've just been generically calling it a yodel because it's that same singer.
Hey Jesse, I like how Dan's just like waving away. I'm just purposely misusing musical terms.
But I am just saying.
I'm just telling everyone to go fuck themselves.
It's the same singer and it's the same variation on that whole thing. It's the same. It doesn't sound the same, but it's a variation on the similar subject. It's the same singer. Isn't the same singer going like,
I'm just saying, it's not yodeling.
I know, but we've been calling it that.
You've been calling it that.
No, she does do some yodeling or ululating in the one part, but what you played...
Yeah, and this is a variation on that. It's a variation on that. It's not as uvulational, but...
You got me all excited.
Well, I'm saying there's more of them, motherfucker.
Is he breaking light bulbs?
There was a little at the end there.
It's not a yodel.
I'm saying it's the same singer. It's the same similar style of singing. She's just not as uvulational, like I said before. It's a little less uvulin. It's a little less uvulence.
A little less uvulin.
Okay, this is another one.
The milk of paradise.
Singing.
But why you gotta do that every fucking time?
All right, I'm just enjoying it. All right, number four.
Okay, how do you think that compares to...
Episode 9. Eternity's Face.
It's the same thing.
Similar.
But she did a little octave change there.
That's not... That's no more yodeling than those other things. Because she changed an octave that does not qualify as yodeling. Vibrato does not qualify as yodeling. We've just been calling it that because it's a fun thing to call it. I'm saying... What I'm trying to say is that... is no less yodeling than...
Episode 9.
I'm just saying, one is more, no more or less yodeling than the other. Okay, look, we don't have to argue about this, okay?
Okay.
We
All right.
I did not come here to argue.
Crazy old Ivan.
We can just agree to disagree, which
crazy
is
old
a silly
Dan.
Thing to say.
I'm glad you brought up the yodeling. I enjoyed.
Okay, I should. I'm so. I'm. If I want to satisfy both you Jesse and you Patrick, why didn't we just call it singing from the start?
I don't know. I'm disengaged. Disengaged.
Musicological faux pas.
I don't know how to respond.
Are we gonna? We can't go to bed angry.
No, we're not angry. Okay.
We have to fight it out at the end.
Because I am Kali Noonien Singh.
Briefly, I wanted to discuss, because I know we're a little over here, but I did want to discuss just the concept. What do you think, now having heard through this Star Trek Con podcast, which I get the impression that we all generally enjoyed this. I thought that, this was a cool story. I thought it was well produced. We made a few jokes here and there, and there's a couple critiques, but minor, I think, overall. Mm-hmm. I think this was a cool thing to listen to and enjoy. Mm-hmm. What do you think of this format? Just generally speaking, what pluses, minuses?
I mean, I liked it, and especially as we were nearing the end, I was really eager to hear the next episode. I would love them to do more things like this. My only thing is I do think, I mean, I don't know how much time they should have spent on Khan sort of switching over, but it did seem like a big 180 at the end.
Fairly abrupt.
And I get it. You know, this put him over the edge.
They could have had more episodes.
And he had this redemption, but I guess there were clues as to why he wasn't fully redeemed, because he still was Khan. And so the whole time he was still teetering on the edge, and this knocked him off the balance beam or whatever you want to kind of metaphor you want to use.
Excellent metaphor.
But at the same time, it's still was kind of a fast turn that I would have liked to maybe seen. They explained it a little at the end of him like wandering through the desert, and Joachim like kept his spirits up by being like, yeah, we're gonna get Kirk, don't worry, we're gonna kill all those people, it's gonna be great,
it's gonna be awesome.
So they did approach it. I don't know what else they could have done with it, but it did seem like a lot of time spent redeeming Khan, and at the last second, he just kind of like floops.
Right. And what's nice is it did fill in this space, and I know Harry Pothead 420, I think, you know, on YouTube, was not a fan of this podcast, and gave some very good reasons. I understood it. One of his complaints was that it was this classic going back to the same well, as opposed to creating new characters and new stories. And I think it's a valid criticism. For me, I'm wary when they do that, but if it's done well, I'm happy with that. And I thought this was a well-justified story, filling in this gap. It did provide some additional context for Khan's motivation in Star Trek 2. And we're going to be discussing Star Trek 2 next week.
What?
Yeah. And we were reticent. What? We were reticent to discuss Star Trek 2 for a long time because, honestly, on a podcast, especially, we're just trying to have some fun here, have some humors and all that. Star Trek 2 is just like a really great movie. And sometimes
it's like a really great movie.
It sucks to discuss a really great movie because you're just like, remember how awesome this scene was?
Yeah, I know. Right? Yeah.
Remember how everyone's but discussed this to the end of the earth.
If there's a time to discuss it, it's now.
Well, that's the thing. The other thing I like about the Khan podcast is it gave us new context. new justification for discussing Star Trek 2 with a different framing than if we were just talking about a classic good movie.
And new context to rewatch all of Voyager, because we know Tuvok this whole time knows what's going on with Khan and Callie and all that stuff. It's a secret. Right. He knows the secret.
We just watch his face.
We can watch it with new
eyes for all of Voyager.
New eyes. All of Voyager. Yes. One of the major pluses of the format
is similar
to the animated series, and I both mean TAS and as well as the other series that are animated, like Lower Decks and Prodigy and Scouts and all that other business. You can do all this stuff with audio that you couldn't do in a live action show. That's a great feature, and if they do more stories like that, I hope they leverage that. Because one of the drawbacks is with the lack of the visual information, sometimes important story points don't always get across.
Right. We talked about a few things that were a little unclear, and that was
like in this episode, the Paolo dying kind of quote unquote off screen, and then it's like, what exactly is going on? So sometimes the story would be a little bit confusing because of that. So I think they can do better with that stuff. But overall, I hope they do more of this.
Do they have any like plans?
I don't know. I think they're thinking about it. The other thing is, and this is a longer conversation, but there's just also the debate in the fandom over the canonicity of this.
Canonicity.
Right? Because this is the first non-visual format that's been put out in a quote-unquote official status. So in some ways you could say, okay, it's canon because it was produced by the owner of the IP. On the other hand, there's a lot of people who suggest canon is driven by the fandom, and that there are certain facts and figures that might come from books or comics or something that are sort of assumed to be true, even if they weren't quote unquote on screen. So that's of course an endless debate. We could do a whole episode on that. Maybe we will one day, but adding this audio format to the official canon, I think is an interesting thing that they've done.
Definitely.
Speaking of canon, this is kind of off topic, but Back to the Future, we were mm-hmm. talking about Back to the Future. Yeah. There's a video game, a Back to the Future video game by this company called Telltale, which is they're very like narrative story heavy games. Mm-hmm. There's not like strong gameplay, but I think, it's very
and they
narrative.
Do like The Expanse and they definitely did like the Walking Dead.
They did Walking Dead. Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure, but not totally sure. And I think I heard somewhere that Back to the Future game is like supposed to be canon somehow, which brings up the question. Wow. Of like, what does that really mean?
I have in my notes actually about if this audio podcast format becomes canon, right. What does that mean for other formats that thus far have not been considered canon, even if they were produced under the auspices of Paramount or whatever, like novels or graphic novels or video games
and Snoopy Dupes.
Yeah, well,
are you ready then?
Any last points, any duties or this, that's or the other things as we conclude our coverage of the Con podcast and move along home to not only to Star Trek 2, we'll do Star Trek 2 next week. And then the following week, we will start our weekly coverage of Star Trek Starfleet Academy.
So Con fits right. Nice little podcast sandwich
yeah,
there.
Because we did Space Seed, all of Con, and then Star Trek 2. Finish up the Con saga.
That's it.
You know what the significance is? That's where it comes from. Yeah.
Next week, Dan is going to have a 6-minute club ready dance song using those and other Star Trek clips.
The snares from the sound.
That's it.
Nicely done, Dan. Yep. Nicely done.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all I wanted to say.
Sounds like we're all set there.
Are we? Yeah.
Why couldn't he have waited a few more minutes?
All right. We will talk to you again a similar time next week. Talk to you then. Goodbye.
Later.
Fly, little goddess. Fly. See the stars.
Oh, he does not plan to return.
No, I don't think he does.
It will be done.
We go now.
Sounded like a little fart at the end there. The next slice.
A little death fart.
You look like shit, Ivan. How are you still alive?
Lesser man would have died long ago, after the last of the beasts suffocated and froze.